You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Supporting Actor of the Week podcast. For today's podcast, we're going to take a look at Eli, the Kohen Gadol of the Mishkan in Shiloh, about whom we read at the beginning of the book of Shmuel Aleph. Eli marks the end of an era. The story at the beginning of Shmuel Aleph tells us of the corruption of Shiloh, specifically of Eli's sons, Hophni and Pinchas, and of the new leadership under Shmuel, Chana's son, whom she has dedicated to Hashem's service prior to his birth. And in the telling of this story, good and evil is clearly delineated. Hophni and Pinchas are the corrupt, selfish, self-centered Kohanim in Shiloh, while Chana and Shmuel are the God-centered, selfless, devoted hope for Am Yisrael's future. In Perek Bet in particular, there's the story seesaws back and forth comparing Hophni and Pinchas in a clear attempt to show the contrast between them. What makes Eli so interesting is that he is somewhere between these two extremes of good and evil. On the one hand, Eli is associated with the religious leadership which is about to be ousted. Right? He is the father of Hophni and Pinchas, after all. And although there is no indication that he is corrupt as well, he seems at least to be in part responsible for the behavior of his sons. We see this first in the words that he says to his sons in Perek Bet, Pasuk Kaf Bet. Ve'eli zaken me'od v'shama et kol asher yasun banav l'chol Yisrael v'et asher yishkevun et hanashim hatzovot petach oel moed. Vayomer lahem, madu ta'asun kadvarim ha'ele asher anochi shome et divrechem ra'im me'et kol ha'am ele. Right, Eli is very old, and he hears about all of the sins that his sons are committing, and he says to them, "Why are you doing these things? All of these bad things that I'm hearing about." Al banai, ki lo tova hashmua asher anochi shomea ma'avivim am Hashem. Right, these are not good things that I am hearing about. And then at the end of pasuk kafei, it says, "Velo yishmu lekol avihem ki chafet Hashem hamitam." Right, and they didn't listen to him because Hashem wanted them to be killed. Another interesting question. You know, how could Hashem prevent them from listening to their father? Not the subject right now. But Eli expresses clear disapproval for their behavior, but his parenting seems a little bit distant, a little bit too little, too late. Right, he seems to be aware of their misdeeds only by hearsay. Right, one would have thought, right, as their father, that he would have been aware of what they were doing firsthand. But by the time he tries to chastise them, they're already at the point that's beyond redemption, which is probably the point of Hashem not wanting them to repent at that point. They had already been bad for so long that they were beyond hope. And we are told that basically his sons ignore him. Eli's sons ignore him, right? So there seems to be a problem in the relationship that he had with his sons, that he's only trying to reach them at a point that is really too late. Later in the same perek, an Ish Elokim, a man of God, comes to Eli to prophesy of the downfall of Eli's house, and of his leadership, and we get the same impression from these words, right, that somehow Eli is held responsible for what his sons have been doing. Right, Eli's house has to, right, and will come to an end. This Ish Elokim says, and the key pasuk is pasuk kaftet. Lama tiv atu bizivchai uminchati. Zivchi uminchati, asher tziviti ma'on, v'techabed et banecha mimeni. Right? Those last words being the key words. Why have you perverted my sacrifices? You, in the sentence being plural, you, the Kohanim in general, have perverted my sacrifices, and you have honored your sons more than me. And that seems to be the key. that even if Eli himself was not like his sons, right? And that's why I emphasize that the you there is, why have you perverted my, corrupted my sacrifices? The you seems to be the Mishkan in general. Whether Eli or not is particularly responsible, not entirely clear. What does seem to be emphasized here is that he respected his sons more than he respected God, meaning he let his sons do all of these corrupt things and didn't stop them from disrespecting God and disrespecting the Mishkan in general. Right? He basically allowed his sons to walk all over him, so that they ended up doing what they wanted instead of what they had to be doing. Right? He gave in to their corruption and their greed. And so basically, Eli is shown here as being weak, again, similar to what we saw before, as being weak and ineffectual with regard to his son's behavior. Finally, we see this, we get this impression again from the words, Hashem's words to Shmuel in Perek Gimel, in Shmuel's first prophecy, which talks about the same subject, right? The downfall of Eli's house. We see this in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. V'higadeti lo, right? You should say to Eli, ki shofet ani et beito ad olam, ba'avon asher yada ki mekalalim lahem banav, v'lo chi habam. Right? What was the avon of Eli? What was the sin of Eli? That he knew that his sons were cursing, right? Were basically, again, corrupting their job, corrupting what they their duty as Kohanim. And he didn't chastise them, right? He did not go against them, punish them for what they were doing. Eli's inability to see, at least in time, the evil of his sons without being told about it, is similar to his inability to recognize Chana's positive qualities, her genuineness, when he first sees her praying in the Mishkan, in Perek Aleph, when she goes to pray for his son. There seems to be something that in him that does not allow him to see things for what they are, right? To judge character correctly, right? Be that good character or bad character. Sorry about that momentary technical glitch. So while Eli's house in general is condemned, and of course he is part of that house, The main thing here with Eli seems to be that it wasn't so much his involvement in the corruption himself as much as letting the corruption happen. Right? He is not the worst of the worst, but there is certainly good reason that that things do not end so well with him, and that his leadership and the leadership of his house in general had to end. It is interesting that while we are told upon his death, a little bit later in the story, that he was a shofet, right, a leader for 40 years, we don't really know much about his leadership except for the way that it ended. And given what we already know about Eli, one imagines that there might have been something positive to report about him, about the man himself, but that doesn't seem to really matter, because in the end, the sum total of his leadership, as we see it in these early Prakim of Shmuel Aleph, is that it ultimately ended in failure. On the other hand, there are some positive things about Eli. After all, I like to joke, there is a street named after him in Yerushalayim, right? And they don't name streets in Yerushalayim after bad guys, or I don't think in general they name streets after bad guys, which, by the way, as a side point, is a good way to remember, for example, which are the good kings from Sefer Melachim and which are the bad kings, because you know that if there's a street named after the king, then he's a good king. Of course, that requires knowing the street names. But one of the many perks of knowing Yerushalayim intimately. But anyway, back to Eli. For starters, right, looking at his more positive qualities, it should not be overlooked that Shmuel, who replaces Eli's house, is something of a protege and almost like an adopted son of Eli himself. Now, of course, it is ironic that he ends up replacing Eli, right? But if Eli was all bad, it's hard to imagine that Shmuel would have been mentored by him. And in the course of reading the story, there definitely seems to be a genuine positive mentorship relationship between the two of them. For example, in Perek Gimel, when Shmuel receives his first prophecy, and he doesn't realize it realize what it is. He doesn't recognize it for what it is, that it's Hashem speaking to him. It's Eli who gently explains to him that Hashem is speaking to him, and he teaches him how to respond. But Eli's true greatness, I believe, lies even in something else. And I believe that this might be the true source of the sympathetic feelings and the tenderness for Eli, which I think many people intuitively feel when they read the story about him, but don't actually know why. And I think that this quality is that for all of his failings, Eli never falls into the trap of defensiveness and arrogance. One first senses this in his interaction with Chana. When he first sees Chana praying in the Mishkan, he condemns her pretty harshly, right? And this is because he misunderstands her, right? He doesn't see her for what she really is. But once she speaks to him and corrects his misperception, he accepts what she says fully and graciously, right? He blesses her not once, but twice, right? First, immediately, that Hashem should answer her prayer, whatever it was that she was praying for. And then again in Perek Bet, when she brings Shmuel to the Mishkan, he blesses her again that Hashem should grant Chana and Elkanah more children. One never senses again from Eli any resistance or objection to Chana. Right? Once he is made to realize what she really is, right? He accepts this. He accepts that he had been mistaken originally. This quality is seen once again very poignantly in the story of Shmuel's first prophecy. Shmuel has just heard from Hashem, right, that Eli, his mentor, and the man who is in some ways like his adopted father, that he's going to be punished with the destruction of his family and of his leadership. And Shmuel's reaction is to try to hide the whole thing, right? He kind of avoids Eli the next morning, clearly feeling very bad that he has to be the one to bear this terrible news. And Eli, who already knows about all of this, right, because he had heard this prior prophecy from the Ish Elokim, right, he very kindly eases Shmuel's burden. Right, it says, "Vayikra Eli et Shmuel, Vayomer Shmuel bini, Vayomer hineni." Right, Shmuel, my son, and Shmuel says, "Yes." Vayomer mahadavar asher diber elecha. Right, what is it that Hashem told you? Al na techached mimeni. Right? Don't keep anything back from me. Ko ya'ase lecha Elohim v'cho yosif im techached mimeni davar mikol davar asher diber elecha. Right? He swears to Shmuel that he must tell him everything. Right? Don't hold anything back, he says to Shmuel. Vayaged lo Shmuel kol hadvarim v'lo chicher mimenu. Right? And Shmuel listens. Right? He's coaxed into it by Eli. He's able to ease the burden and tell Eli what Hashem had said. And Eli's reaction is very simple but very powerful. Vayomer Hashem hu hatov peinav yaseh. Right? This is God. Hashem has spoken. He will do what is right in his eyes. Right? So Eli's strength here is seen once again in his honesty and his willingness to accept Hashem's decree without arrogance, without defensiveness, just with a recognition that this is how it has to be. And of course he interacts with Shmuel very gently and very kindly throughout the entire episode. These two sides of Eli are represented throughout the story, I believe, through the images of sight versus hearing. Right? Eli's weakness lies in his sight. Right? And in fact, by the end of the story, we are told that he has gone blind, appropriately. When he speaks to his sons about their misdeeds, he says, right, as we already read before, it says about him, Ve'eli zaken me'od v'shama et kol asher yasun banav. And then he says to his sons a little bit, the next pasuk, Vayomer lahem, lama tasun kadvarim ha'ila asher anochi shomea et divrichem. Right, al banai, ki lo tova ha'shmua asher anochi shomea. Right, he knows about what his sons are doing, not because he has seen what they have done, but because he hears about it. Right, he doesn't see; he only hears. When he misunderstands Chana, when he sees her in the Mishkan, he doesn't realize that she's praying because, as it is very clearly stated in the story, her prayer has no sound. Right, which was apparently unusual back then. He would have had to recognize that she was praying through sight alone, right? And he was unable to do that because seeing apparently is his weakness. And I don't mean only physically, right? His failures lie in his lack of perception, right? Recognizing people for what they are, as well as a lack of vision, right? Realizing that things have to be different, that things have to be changed. These are two fairly critical qualities in a leader, and hence the need for his leadership to end. His strength, however, lies in his ability to listen, right? We already said that he hears, he doesn't see, about what his sons are doing. And once he is told about his sons, he understands that they are bad. Once Chana tells him what she is really all about, he accepts it completely, right? When the Isha Elohim and then Shmuel tell him of his fate, he accepts Hashem's decree with quiet understanding, right? That this is the way that it has to be. So Eli might not have had insight, but he had the quality, the ability that is lacking in so many people to really hear what someone else has to say and to realize that they are right, right? And to accept the truth when they hear it, right? Even as with in the case of Eli, when it was to his own great disadvantage. And it is that quality, that ability to hear and to listen and to accept, which is, I believe, the strength and the greatness of Eli.